today as we come to the table.
And notice when we have the power, when he comes upon us, the Bible says we will be witnesses. That is, we're going to be those that share the Lord, that live for the Lord, and literally martyrdom. We'd even die for the Lord when this happens because we have this new power. And notice where in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, again, our Judea, what? Just their local area, their surrounding area, and all the way around the world. And God did that, didn't he? They reached the entire world in their generation. Well, how would we apply that today? Knoxville, the United States, and the rest of the world. And God says that if we walk in the power of the Spirit, that is exactly what's going to happen.
The early church walked in the power of the Spirit, and they fulfilled what it was God called them to do. They became his witnesses through Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It wasn't without hardships, but they moved in faith and accomplished the mission they had been given by Jesus. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. What about you? Jesus has called and empowered you to be his witness as well. He put his Spirit inside of you so that you could be filled with the same faith and boldness as the early church. Where is your Judea and Samaria? Are you reaching them with the gospel? Are you a faithful witness to Jesus Christ? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 1 as he continues his message, Baptized by Jesus.
You know, if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? You know, if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Of course not. He said, so if you, being evil, that is of the sin nature, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will the Heavenly Father give? Note this, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to you? Now, why did the Lord mention the fact that God was willing to give the Holy Spirit at the same time he's talking about things that make people fearful? I think because God knows human nature. And he thinks that some of us are going to, for some reason, be think that something's wrong because there's something we don't understand. The Holy Spirit, when God begins to work on our life by the Holy Spirit, the proper way, in the biblical way, it is a beautiful thing. It is an exciting thing, and it is a thing that God uses to bring power into our life. And so that's what we're going to look at today. Now, what are some of the reasons that people fear the work of the Holy Spirit? I believe, personally, it's because of the abuses of the Holy Spirit that some of you have seen. Some of you have come from backgrounds where everybody was running around crazy. Everybody were doing things that were very bizarre, and there were things that were you couldn't find in the Bible, but everybody was telling you not to squelch the Spirit. And so you went along with it. Maybe you were like in one of those lines up front where the guy up front's pushing on your head, you know, and trying to get you to go down or whatever. You're not going to do that. I remember as a baby Christian, I was in one of those. I wanted everything God had. And so everybody went forward because we're going to pray for all those who want everything God has. Well, I'm going to do that. So I go forward and everybody's kind of like, you know, they're touching them and they're all falling down and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't know the Bible and I didn't know enough about the Bible to know whether this was right or wrong at that time. All I knew is that this seemed weird. But although it seemed weird, I wanted everything Jesus had. So I went up there and I said, all right, I'll deal with the weirdness because I want everything he has. But everybody around me went down but me. And the guy began pushing on my head harder. And I remember thinking, God, I'm very embarrassed right now for a couple of reasons. Number one, everybody else is laying down and I'm standing here. And number two, since I'm the only one that hasn't fallen back, that must mean that I'm the only one who is unspiritual. And I'm up here wanting everything you have. I'm desiring you. I ache. I want you so bad. I'm aching inside. How come this happened to them and it didn't happen to me? And I remember the Spirit working in my heart saying, if it's not real, don't do it. Because I had made up my mind. I want what's real. I don't want what's fake. Now, I held out for a good long time. And finally, just kind of out of... Yeah, I did a courtesy drop. Who said that? But I kind of just kind of laid down. I mean, I wasn't going to hurt myself. So I just kind of did this, you know, and whatever, you know. And I want to say this, guys, about my brothers and sisters who love Jesus in that service. You with me? I am not making fun of anyone. It is a lack of education in the Bible. It is a misunderstanding of the way God works. That's all that is. They loved Jesus. And they were and are my brothers and sisters. And some of them from that fellowship I still know today, and I have fellowship with them. But what they have since learned, and what I learned as a baby Christian, is that was a work of the flesh. That was man trying to make the Spirit move, but we were all sincere. But I made up my mind from that point, I will not do anything that's not real. I am not going to be manipulated. I'm not going to play religion. I'm not going to pretend something that's not. I'm not going to be led by feelings. I want everything you have for me, God, but it's got to be from God. It's got to be real, and I've got to find it clearly spelled out right here in this Bible. And if I don't, because people would say, well, you don't want to grieve the Spirit. Look, if I can't find it in the Bible, I'll take my chances that I'm not grieving the Spirit. Because I would rather stick to what I can find in the Bible and God say, well done, good and faithful servant, than to go outside of the Bible and God say, what were you doing? So stick with the Word. Make sure it's in the Word. But if it's in the Word, guys, everything in the Word is for us. And what's exciting about what God did in my life is God did these things in my life before I was around enough Christians to get me theologicalized. Now, I know that's not a word. But God came upon me with the power of His Spirit and changed my life with what we're about to read about today before any denomination or group could get a hold of me and say, well, that's not for today. God doesn't do that anymore. I didn't know that. So I just said, God, I want everything you have, and I'm just a little child baby, and you give me everything you have. And God fell upon me and gave me the gifts and changed my life. And I'm glad God did it before I found out that it wasn't for today. Because if I'd found out it wasn't for today before He did it, I probably never would have asked. Nor would I have ever believed it. I liked my ignorance at that point. I liked my immaturity at that point because it was something I didn't fake. It was something I didn't manufacture. By the way, I was by myself. I'll get to that in a moment because I'm getting ahead of myself. But listen, the abuses of the Spirit and the gift is what drives the thinking Christian away. Yesterday, my neighbor across the street was fixing his mailbox. It had leaning or something like that. He pulls it back up and he puts all the things on it, gets it back in place, puts some concrete in it, was refixing it. I don't know, was just straightening it up. It had fallen crooked over the years, I guess. And he has this black can of spray paint. He's spraying it down, whatever, you know. And you know what? That spray paint serves a very good purpose. And it was functioning properly in its purpose. It was a beautiful thing. His mailbox was now shiny and black and looking great. I was like, that's really good. That's how the paint's supposed to work. But if he had walked across the street and started writing, Joe was here on the side of my wall, it's now being abused. And I'm going to stop it as quickly as I can and stay away from it as far as I can get. Do you follow me? I think sometimes we do this with the baptism of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. We see people with the spiritual spray can that have good intention, good hearts, but they're getting it everywhere and they're making a mess of things. And everybody's going, I don't want a part of that. What's going on? When the Bible clearly lays out the way that can of spray paint is supposed to be used, if you read the instructions on the can, shake well, you know, and do in the proper place or whatever, don't, whatever, it gives you the instructions. We have the same instructions for the gifts of the Spirit, and when they're done the right way, it's a beautiful and powerful thing. So don't make the mistake of doing away with the power of God in your life and the gifts of God in your life simply because you've seen somebody abusing the spiritual spray paint. Are you guys with me? Because if you're like me, you want everything that God has for your life, and I want everything that God has for my life, and so I want to be open to that. Now, this was the problem in the church at Corinth. In the church in Corinth, they had all the gifts. They were using the gifts in a wonderful way, but they were abusing them. Nobody was understanding how to use them. So Paul writes all these chapters in 1 Corinthians saying, whoa, I'm glad that you have all these gifts, but he said, you're scaring people off. This is what Paul said in my own words. He said, you're scaring people off. He said, if people come to Corinthian chapel and you guys all stand up and begin to speak in another language at the same time, or you guys start doing all this stuff, he said, they're going to think you're a nut. And he said, they're never going to come back. He said, stop. And then he begins to, he says, here's, they're real. It's a good gift. I'm glad you have it. But here's how you do it. When you use that gift, do this. And when you use that gift, do this. And when you use that gift, do this. And do it in order. Now, again, there's a balance to that verse. Do all things in order. You know, first of all, he's saying you're free to do all things. Don't forbid the gifts. Paul gives the warning. But make sure when you do them, it's done in order. It's done the right way. Paul had to devote all this time just to convince these guys, you know, to use it the right way. The same thing is true today. People are abusing it, and we have to teach the Word of God on the proper use of the gifts. But that's not even our point today. Our point today is the empowerment, which we're going to talk about, and not going to get into the use of the gifts and all that, but again, that's a whole other teaching. Now, something else we have to answer before we jump in today. What is the purpose of the gifts, and what is the purpose of this baptism that Jesus said he himself is going to do that he holds personal? All right, what is the purpose? Power. That's all it is, power. You see, there are three different words that are used in the Bible for the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. The words are para, P-A-R-A, N-E-N, and epi, E-P-I. They're the three words used throughout the Bible to describe, in the Greek, in the New Testament, to describe the work of the Spirit in the believer's life. Jesus said this to his followers. He said, the Holy Spirit is with you, and he will be in you. And now he's going to say today, and the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. There's all three words. With, in, and upon. The word with is the word para. It means alongside. He's the one drawing you to the Lord. He's the one helping you in your Christian walk. The word in, E-N, that's what happens when you give your life to the Lord. It's that salvation moment. When did that happen for the disciples? Remember, Jesus was there with them in the upper room in John 20, verse 21. And it says, after his resurrection, he entered the room and he said, it says he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And at that point, they received the Holy Spirit. They were born again. They were already believers, but now they had the Spirit indwelling them. But what's interesting is, although they had received the Holy Spirit, although they were saved, although they had the Holy Spirit indwelling them, he says, don't do anything yet. Stop. It's not done. There's something else that needs to happen in your life before you go out in your ministry. And that is you have to wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father, which is what? That baptism by Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. Once that happens, you'll now be ready for ministry and you can take off then. So the Lord put the brakes on. They were already believers. They were already saved. They already knew the Lord. The same thing was true with me. I'd known the Lord for months before this event happened in my life. The three workings, the first one with, the second one in, and the last one is the one, again, today we're focusing in on. That is the EPI. It is the upon. It means something that happens from the outside upon you. Even as when you're put down in literal water, the water comes upon you. Jesus said, I'm going to take you and I'm going to baptize you in my Spirit. It will come upon you. And when it comes upon you, you will have power and power to walk with me. I said John 20, 21. Actually, I'm sorry. It's actually John 20, 22. So you can correct that in case you decide to look that one up. But these three words are extremely important because as you go through the Bible and you look at the way the words are used, you're going to see every time that somebody needed power, what happened? The Spirit came upon them. Even in the Old Testament, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Not when Delilah was tricking him, but when he was out there and the Philistines before that were attacking, it says the Spirit came upon him. And he had this power to do these things. The Spirit came upon Saul. The Spirit came upon David. The Spirit came upon all these prophets. And in the New Testament, the Spirit comes upon the believers and the Spirit comes upon us. It is for power. The famous Baptist evangelist Dwight Moody said this, no man should step into the pulpit until he's had the Holy Spirit come upon him in the baptism experience. And I agree with him. I agree with him because I believe that until we have the power of the Spirit in our life, we shouldn't be trying to do ministry because that's where the power comes from. You know, and some will tell you this. They'll say, well, you know what, Mark, everything you need, you get at the moment of salvation. I believe some people do, but I still believe there's an additional work of the Spirit beyond that, not just because of my personal experience, but because of the Bible. The disciples had received the Holy Spirit by John chapter 20, verse 22. He breathed on them. They received it. He indwelt them. He was with them. And then after they were indwelt, after they were born again, he said, you're still not ready. Wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. Ask the Father for this. If you ask, he's not going to give you a scorpion. He's not going to give you, you know, a snake. Father, that whole passage that we use. So again, we see that the Lord has that for us in our lives. Let's jump into it. Now look at verse 4 as we see the promise now being given. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise. Now notice, it's not something that you hope for. It's a promise. God doesn't break his promises. For the promise of the Father, which you have heard, note this, from who? From me. Guys, why do I have this underlined? If you heard this promise from the Methodists, or you heard this promise from Calvary Chapel, or you heard this promise from the Baptists, or you heard this promise from the Pentecostals, or you heard this promise from the Catholics, or you heard this promise from the Presbyterian, you get my point. If you heard it from them, would it really be a promise you could be sure of? No. We're people. This promise was given by who? Jesus Christ. He says, guys, this is a promise that I'm making myself. This is not a denominational thing. This is not a spiritual thing. It is a spiritual thing, but this is me. I gave this promise. So it's from me. And notice he said, for John truly baptized with what? Water. That is the earthly baptism that we all get. But you, my followers, shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so he's saying it's one is symbolic, one is for power. And look at verse 6. It says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, I love these guys because they sometimes ask questions that have nothing to do with what the Lord's talking about. And that's what I do. So I go, yeah, I'm with you guys. You know, just totally change the subject and ask something that has nothing to do with what the Lord's talking about. But before I pick on them too much, this is not really that bad of a question for this reason. Remember, the Jews believed that when the Messiah came, he was going to take the world over. The whole world was going to be taken over. Jesus hadn't done that. Now they understood he had to die first and rise again. But he's already died. He's now risen again. Maybe now he'll take the world over. So really, this is a logical question. Lord, will you now at this time that you've died and resurrected, will you now take the world over? I love what the Lord says. He deals with it very gently, doesn't rebuke him. In verse 7, he gets right back on point in verse 8. He said, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. That's kind of a blanket authoritative statement, isn't it? In other words, you're not going to be able to pick the day or the hour of my return. That's in God's hands. You don't worry about times. You don't worry about seasons. I'll take care of all that. But you, let's get back on point. What was I talking to you about, guys? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come, what? Upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Three words I have underlined in that verse. Power, upon, and witnesses. The first two, power. It's a great word. What the word, he says, when the Spirit comes upon you. Let me touch on that first. When the Spirit comes upon you, that's the word in the Greek, EPI. That's that third work of the Holy Spirit. Those three different words I've told you that you see all through the New Testament. He says, when he comes upon you, you will receive power. Now, I love it. So now we have the power, but what is the word power? It's the word dunamis in the language, and it's where we get the word dynamite. Isn't that great? In other words, you're afraid right now. You're scared right now. You've received the Spirit. You're born again. You're in my family, but you're scared. However, when I send the promise upon you, that third work of the Spirit in your life, you're going to be spiritual dynamite in my kingdom. And Peter stood up and was spiritual dynamite in the kingdom right after this happened. So this is a great promise. And again, we're going to see in Acts chapter 2 that Peter says the promise is not just for our generation. Peter goes on to say the promise is for any who will ever hear this. So that means the promise is for us today. And notice when we have the power, when he comes upon us, the Bible says we will be witnesses. That is, we're going to be those that share the Lord, that live for the Lord, and literally martyrdom. We'd even die for the Lord when this happens, because we have this new power. And notice where? In Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, again, our Judea, what? Just their local area, their surrounding area, and all the way around the world. And God did that, didn't he? They reached the entire world in their generation. Well, how would we apply that today? Knoxville, the United States, and the rest of the world. And God says that if we walk in the power of the Spirit, that is exactly what's going to happen. Now, guys, as we end today, I'm going to share a little bit of my personal testimony. I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to ask God to come upon you and empower you with His Spirit if you want to do that. You know, again, the question for us today would be this. Do you want everything the Lord has for you? Do you want the power that God has available? Do you want this promise of a personal baptism by Jesus upon your life to give you what you need to be what God has called you to be? If you do, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that before we're done. If you don't, you don't have to freak out. Nobody's going to force anything on you. But you know what, guys? If you're like me, you want everything that the Lord has to offer. As I said, when I was a baby Christian, I gave my life to the Lord. The way that I gave my life to the Lord and the way this all happened is so out of the norm. I think God did that because he knew he was going to call me to be a pastor. It's so out of the norm. When I gave my life to the Lord, I was not in church. I was in my apartment. And God had convicted me. I knew that I needed to give my life to the Lord. I gave my life to the Lord and I was born again. I was excited. I knew I was forgiven and I began to live my Christian life. A few months later, I found a church and began to go. And again, it was a church that, you know, while I was in Nashville that I attended, but that came afterwards. But I remember hearing the phrase, the power of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit and all this. And I wanted everything God had. I truly wanted everything He had, but I didn't want anybody trying to convince me of it. And I didn't want anybody pushing it on me. I wanted God to do what was real, and that was it. And I had to be able to find it in the words of Scripture. And I remember getting alone in this house, baby Christian. I went down to the lower room, not the upper room. I went down to the lower room because I was house sitting, and I was down there in the basement, and I began to just pray. And I said, Lord, you know, I don't understand all this. I'm a baby Christian. I've just given my life to You. And I've heard that there's an additional power that if I simply ask, You'll give to me. And I know that right now I need that power because I'm a little bit afraid to share my faith. I don't really see myself being set free and some of the things that still hold me in bondage. And I just, more than that, I want everything that You have for me. And so I begin to pray and I begin to worship and I begin just to cry out to the Lord saying, God, whatever You got for me. Again, I love this because I was so much of a baby Christian, nobody had gotten to me to teach me theology yet, which is such a blessing. Because I was open for whatever He wanted to do, not what my denomination taught me. Are you guys with me? So I just said, here I am. I know nothing. I know this. I love You and I want it all. And I mean, the Lord fell upon me. A totally different experience than when I was saved. God filled me with His Spirit. I'm going to say this because I think for some of you guys, it may set you free, but for some of you, it may freak you out. Yes, I began to speak in another language. Wow, Mark, I never knew that happened to Mark. Well, it did. And that is one of the gifts that God has given me. I only say that not to freak people out that are on the fringes going, now I know you're weird. I only say that because you know what? I don't care anymore what people think about me. I want those of you that want everything God has to be open and say, you know what? If it happened to Mark, it must not be that weird. Maybe you're going, oh, it is weird because it happened to Mark. I don't know. But I began to speak in another language. I received power in my life. And the next day, I mean, literally, I was out in the streets. I was a transformed human being. It wasn't until later I found out that wasn't for today. It has changed my life radically. And God has that for you today if you want it. And I want to take just a couple of minutes to pray. Don't worry. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's not going to get weird. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. How did the Holy Spirit descend upon the Lord? As a dove, you know, not as an eagle or vulture or pterodactyl, you know. Gentle power that is beautiful and is sweet and is under control. You know what the word meek means? It means strength under control. That would describe the way God wants to work with His Spirit in your life. And so, guys, what you're doing is you're basically saying to the Lord, God may give you a gift. He may not give you a gift. You may not speak in another language. You may not. That's one of the gifts of many. And by the way, that's at the bottom of the list, if you notice. Although it seems to be the one that everyone lifts up because it's, I guess, one of the more visible.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. The accounts of this book end up being the types of storylines that directors long for in a good plot of an underdog overcoming the odds and doing more than people would ever expect. But like many stories, they don't always have a happy ending, at least here on Earth. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Acts next time. But you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series in the Come to the Table section on thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. If you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark and the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For nearly 25 years, it's been been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community and through this radio outreach. There's always a seat for you. We meet Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15, and in the evening again at 6. We also gather Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find out more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net to find a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share, so be sure to join us as we prepare to come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.